make sure you're tracking the right things on your website. So if you're after a conversion, spot check, you know, purchase to see that everything's working as expected and firing to give Meta Ads credit. So I can't tell you how many times, you know, we've encountered the issue of like, the client's actually never been tracking precisely what they need to be tracking to be effective.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, every 5 episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing channel. Could be email or SEO or Meta Ads. And we pick up the thread from the last time we covered it. And each episode, a new one released every Wednesday, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. At the moment, we are in Meta Ads world. So this episode, we are getting into how you build Meta Ads for profitability. A super insightful guest. She's awesome. Her insider tips are amazing. So you have to listen to the end. There is no choice. And you're going to learn about kind of we're almost covering the whole remit of Meta. We're talking about campaign types. We are talking about attribution and analysis and optimization. We're talking about creative. And of course, we are getting deep into how you go about making it profitable and stacking up in your ROIs, ROI targets even. So as I said, make sure you listen to the end and enjoy. Did you know that Safari deletes all of your website's visitor data every 7 days? Since Apple deprecated third-party cookies, most brands' retargeted audience size has been slashed by 40%. Amerce fixes this in just one click. The Amerce first-party data app extends your data tracking to 1 year instead of 7 days, automatically adding 40% more customer data to your existing email flows and paid ads audiences. Brands with Amerce installed see 20% more email revenue and a 40% increase in event match quality across Meta and Google. It literally takes just 15 minutes to install, and you never have to do anything after. Just let the revenue roll in. Sign up for your 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE. In this episode, I'm chatting with Meta Ads expert Nikki Lindgren. Nikki is the founder of Pennock, the nimble growth agency, and a specialist in building growth for 7-figure beauty and lifestyle D2C brands. Hello, Nikki.
Hi, Chloe. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Awesome to have you here. Really looking forward to getting stuck into Meta Ads and how we make them more profitable. First off, though, how did you get stuck into Meta Ads in the first place?
Yeah, that's a great question. It was a good moment too. I had been managing SEO and overseeing the paid media team at an agency, and that's kind of my first foray into it. However, I was overseeing the team doing it, so I didn't actually know a lot about the ins and outs. And this was probably like 2012. And then I took my first job where I actually had to start implementing myself in 2016. And that was with a US-based company called Kiwi Inc. And it's a kid subscription box. It was a lot of fun to be on the ground level, taking that brand from under $1 million a month to $1 million and then up to $10 million a month before I left there. So I learned, it was a huge crash course in paid ads on Meta, and I was a team of one. So there was no one to rely on to help me doing the doing. So that was my first like real boots on the ground experience.
Very cool. And now you run an agency doing this day in, day out for brands.
Exactly.
Very cool. So profitability seems to be one of the big e-commerce buzzwords, certainly in 2024. And I think it's only going to get bigger in 2025. And with all the changes that have gone on with Meta and cookies and all trackability and all that kind of stuff, it seems one of the biggest challenges, I would say, in e-commerce is how to make your Meta ads more profitable. So where do we start with doing this? What's our plan of attack?
Yeah, well, I have to say, it's such a good moment in time to finally have brands and agencies focused on profitability, because I feel like before the pandemic, everyone was just pushing as many dollars as they could into platforms without like realizing how it was affecting the overall business. So really, really happy to be in this moment. For us and for many agencies and media buyers, I think the modifications and advancements Meta has made as a platform in terms of their ability to track and report differently have been helpful. Of course, like the first thing that happened was the attribution went down to 7 days and we're all like, oh, this is going to impact how things look. So that was a big issue to deal with clients. And now being able to look at 7 versus 1, new customers versus all customers, it's been helpful to just really dissect what's happening for a client within the Meta Ads ecosystem alone. That paired with kind of leveling up and looking at marketing efficiency ratio, MER, which is total e-commerce revenue divided by ad spend, has just been another way for us to like litmus test that we're in the right place. And then I guess on top of that is like brands who are using Triple Whale or North Beam. We like to use that as our true North Star in the event it's something our brands can afford. And I bring that up because we're working with emerging brands that are usually 1 to 10 million in ARR, and they might not be ready to spend, you know, $1,000 a month on the cost of the attribution tool.
It seems like things are kind of like settling down now in how we, you know, all the big changes seem to have happened. We seem to have worked out almost a playbook for how we do this, but it's become a more complicated playbook. And the attribution piece, you know, if you're going to track profitability, you've got to know what your sales are. You've got to know what your costs are. And that seemed, you know, as you were saying there, you're doing it almost on three different levels. What Meta's telling you, what you can get through one of those tools where it's affordable. And then that overall revenue marketing spend. How do you balance those pieces day to day? Is it a spreadsheet nightmare, or, you know, how do you make the optimization straightforward?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'll answer your question, but I kind of want to like back a little bit further to talk about something that I think is sort of interesting and important is like us as an ad agency, you know, 3 years ago when we were taking on new clients, we had a very simple intake form. It was like AOV, site conversion, right? You know, like a couple of the major metrics for the website. But now we're like, we need to know your gross margin. We need to know your COGS. We need to understand all of these parts of the business so that we can now calculate the right level everything should be at, especially for these new brands that probably have, you know, new founders in the e-commerce space and don't really know a lot of what they should be calling their true success metric. So now to answer your question about like, how do you juggle the three? We generally are going to look at platform like Meta Ads data first to make decisions paired with the North Beam or Triple Whale. So we have to look at them both side by side because we've got some clients who are like, as long as it's a 4X, keep spending. We don't care how much you spend. And so we're almost doing like every 3 day spend increases, right? And we're very excited now that Meta said for anything out of learning, you don't have to worry about that 30% rule when you increase the budget or decrease it 30%. It historically went back into learning. Now for established campaigns, that's no longer really the case. So we're excited to have more fluidity there so we don't have to be so like anal about making sure every day we increase 29% or something. So to answer your question, it's, you know, it's more of an art than a science. We're looking at both the platform as our true solution because we want to make sure we're spending where the platform says we're going to have the most opportunity, but we'll take into account the attribution solution to make sure the alignment is there and it's not telling us a completely different story in the attribution tool.
And I suppose the key thing about, you know, continuing to pay attention to what the platform, what Meta is actually telling you, is that what Meta knows is what Meta's feeding into its algorithm to make its decisions. So you kind of be ignoring half the power if you were completely ignoring the data they were giving you and only looking at third-party tech.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I think if you talk to some other agencies out there, you know, many are very anti-attribution tools for that reason, because it's like we have to give the power to the machine learning within Meta to make the case for success. And we're kind of like dancing in the middle. And I think as long as Meta continues to elevate what they're doing from attribution and what they're the ways in which we can slice and dice, like the more trust media buyers and hopefully brands will have in the Meta reporting platform to begin with.
So once we've got a grip on our headline numbers, so we know what profitability actually looks like, and then we've got a head on our attribution numbers, so we know what's actually going on, where do we go next to build profitability into our campaigns?
Yeah, so that's where I would say the first thing we're going to look at is that MER, right? Like we could get a great ROAS and a low CAC till we're blue in the face. But if it's actually at the cost of growth because we're maybe remarketing more than we need to because a client's like, you must hit this objective, then we're hurting their business. And that's why I think we need to look at that higher level metric, that MER. But once we've kind of established an acceptable ROAS, and I say acceptable because sometimes we have to like convince our clients that like maybe slightly below what you think you need is going to work better for your business, and we have a grip on that MER, what we want to do at this moment in time, like beginning of 2025, is figure out how much of the build should be machine learning, Advantage Plus shopping, right? So what we're finding for our brands that are spending between 10 and I'd say 30K on Meta, or even below 10K a month, that would be, we're finding more success with simplified campaign structures, mainly Advantage Plus shopping, throwing, you know, massive amounts of assets in there and letting the winners win, and kind of like building duplicate Advantage Plus shoppings, if you will, for new assets to go through versions where they're going to get to spend to their full potential. That's really been the recipe for success. And I'm kind of encouraging my team not to do as much specific remarketing of first or third party data, because Advantage Plus shopping generally as a bucket is going to perform at a higher profitability or return on ad spend than separating everything up. Maybe in the next 6 to 12 months, we will see a difference there. But right now, for the majority of our clients, Advantage Plus shopping always wins. And then the emphasis of us to become the most profitable we can be is really creative briefing and art directing what we need our assets to be to then, you know, get us to the goals the client is looking for.
Well, so that was pretty much less than $30,000 a month. Chuck everything at Advantage Plus.
Yeah, I mean, you know, do your test. We've got a couple corner cases where legacy builds, I like to call them, I don't know the proper name of them, for, you know, I'm putting in my lookalikes, I'm putting in my competitor set, da-da-da. Sometimes that wins, but I would say that's like the 10% of the time, right? Like 90% of the time, ASC will win. And then we're in a situation of like, well, as an agency running Meta ads in addition to other ads platform, like what value do you, the team at Pennock, really bring to the fold? And that's where we're like, well, you need to be of a certain size to make sense from a cost perspective. And you need to recognize, and we need to pitch how much we're assisting with the creative insights, because we use, you know, platforms to help us understand creatives off of Meta so that we get, you know, quicker, faster data. But we're looking at when things are going to fatigue, how we need to reslice and dice videos so that we can keep them engaged longer. So that's really the value we as media buyers need to kind of bring to the table at this point. Or we need to go in the other direction and be really good at conversion rate optimization and figuring out what should be happening on the site experience or e-commerce shop experience or social shop experience.
Yeah, I think it's easy for someone to hear this and kind of go, oh, right, okay, so Advantage Plus, you know, I'm spending $20,000. I'll just chuck it all at Advantage Plus. I can set it up, walk away. But it's very much not like that, is it? You've got to keep that creative game up, which seems to be, you know, 10 years ago, it's all about the targeting and the nuance, and the creative just kind of existed. Sorry, everybody. I know that's a bit flippant of me. But now it's that creative endless creation of creative to keep feeding the algorithm, to give it new things to look at, new people to put things in front of. How does anybody manage that? How frequently should they be creating additional creative?
Yeah. So every quarter we kind of re-pull and reassess at what spend level is a new asset required. And like, this might sound really complicated or weird, but I just feel like it cuts through to our brands pretty well. So each month we're building a media plan for them. And we find that for every about $2,500 in spend or currency in spend, a new asset is required. So if their budget is 10K, that month, they're going to need minimum 4 new assets. So that's sort of one way we can say, like, okay, with a budget this size, this is the amount of assets you need. Obviously, more is better, but like, we wouldn't really recommend less. And if you give us fewer than that, we can't really guarantee that the results will be as we're expecting. So that's kind of like the simplified way we found to relay that message to our clients. Generally, we get new assets at two pulses of the month. So we have the beginning of the month, and then we sit on them for like 7 to 14 days. We'll start to tell them what isn't working and what we need our iterations from. And then they're giving us like a second clean batch in the middle of the month.
Got you. I love that analyzing it versus spend, because A, that's, you know, that your spend defines your traffic, which defines how much it's being seen, which defines how much you need fresh creative. But also it then allies your costs, the cost of creating the creative, with your activity. So I totally get how that then is on every level, you are building the profitability into what you're doing, because you're not going, right, everybody, we want 10 new from you every month, because actually that doesn't make sense. It doesn't stand by the numbers. It's too much effort if you're only spending 10,000 versus if you're spending 30,000 and so forth.
Right. And we all know what happens when it gets live and in the platform, like, you know, one or two will work. The rest will like spend a couple dollars and you have to like figure out why they didn't spend more. And you know, you're kind of, that's where you get into this possible campaign duplication perspective, where you're just like, I want to make sure I'm targeting the same people, but I want to make sure these assets spend. And so I think that's sort of like the recipe to success now, is like, you can't then as a media buyer take the 4 assets per month and be like, one spent 9,000, the other 3 combined spent 1,000. They're like, cool, it cost me so much to make these assets, why did you only spend $1,000?
Yeah, you've got to be looking at, why did that one tank? Why did that one work? And keep refining, endlessly refining. And do you create the creative for your clients, or do you get the clients to send you creative? Because I think that's one of the things many brands are struggling with at the moment, is who creates the creative? What's everyone's input into it? And how do we make that work the best? And I will say before you even answer that, I don't think there's a one size fits all model here. I think it all depends on everybody. But what's your recommended approach to that?
Yeah. Well, when we started our agency in 2020, we assumed we would be doing a heck of a lot more in the creative lane than we ended up needing to do. So all of our early clients were like, we've got a graphic designer, we've got a videographer, like, you just tell us what you need, we're going to do it. And we're like, okay, that saves us a decent amount of work. So we are still kind of in that lane where we are more, every month we're putting together like a creative strategy deck paired with a creative brief, where we're basically saying, if you need 4 assets, these are the 4 we're recommending. Here are inspiration shots of like examples of how competitors are doing it. And so we'll walk their designer through that to make sure we're in lockstep as to what we want. And that's kind of been the evolution of most of our clients. Now I have a small team. There's only 8 full-time employees, and that's it. One of them does creative. So she is augmenting or editing or elevating some assets should clients not be able to assist the full way through to make it an ad. So that's, you know, taken up by like 25% of our clients. And we're not like going into studio, we're not scripting UGC, we're just basically taking assets they have and making them better for ads.
Got it. So we have to understand our numbers, get our attribution right and our attribution systems right, have a good constant flow of good creative, which we're managing and optimizing and so forth. And then most of it's going into the Advantage Plus area. Any other keys to being profitable with Meta ads at the moment?
Yeah, I would say another thing that we like to test for our brands are usually working to increase their email list size, and they're usually struggling to see significant email list size month over month. It usually grows as a symptom of new sales more than anything. But they know when someone does subscribe to their email, like the conversion rate on email is so much better than anything else that's being, you know, promoted. So what we'll do is we'll dedicate some of the budget to lead gen, like inline on platform in Meta, and then we'll track those new email subscribers against the dollars spent to acquire those email subscribers and say, like, at the end of the day, is the ROAS on lead gen better than the ROAS on conversion, like a true conversion campaign. So that's sort of an A-B test we do for a lot of clients. And like, it's not, there's not a slam dunk and like just spend on ROAS for everybody. Some clients actually have a stronger ROAS, quote unquote, when you do the math from lead gen. So that's something else I would say to consider, like if your brand is really good with their email flow and you really like the work you've put into that, then focus on making more people aware of that. And I think if you have a more considered purchase or a first to market type of product that people need to be educated around, like that could be way smarter than just saying buy now with all of your ad strategies.
But it's always good to have some test budget being spent somewhere, you know, so you're not, when something happens and your core drops off results, you've got something ready to go. So I love that. Also, I'm a big fan of email. So I'm obviously going to be a fan of that idea. And you mentioned before we hit the record button, and I hope you don't mind me bringing this up, that you've been testing some new functionality on Meta as well called, I think you said they were called site links. So first off, what are they? And are they any good?
Yeah, it was interesting because a team member of mine is like, we're going to test site links on Meta. And I'm like, sorry, like, I think that was a typo. Like, what are you talking about? And she's like, no, there's like literally site links available on Meta. And I'm like, I don't believe it. Like, can you screenshot this? Like, this is all over Slack, right? And so she Slacked it to me and they're literally, what you would consider site links. Like they're bubbles of, you know, hyperlinks that you can link anywhere on your website or your Instagram shop. So we've been testing them out now for a couple of clients and they have boosted ROAS. Is it like a significant boost? No, but like you could maybe crush out like another 5 or 10% efficiency from whatever your ROAS number is now. So it's something we are, you know, continuing to explore and, you know, no harm in putting a site link on an ad, right? Like the worst case is like, we just don't really like them for this brand and we're not going to continue doing them. So that's something I would encourage, like if you can get on betas or just stay on top of the new things, I think like the cost effectiveness or just kind of like the cost to play in a net new test, it's usually pretty low. So I'm assuming, yeah, it's something we'll continue going on with this and any new things on Meta we can get our hands on.
Nice. Anything we haven't mentioned, Nikki, we should have mentioned for the audience? Or have we covered everything?
We covered a lot. We definitely covered a lot. I think, you know, we're at this moment of time where it's like, how much creator content does one brand need? And I think like everyone's kind of like hitting their heads on the wall because as consumers, we're kind of getting sick of creator generated content, in my opinion. So I'm really interested in where creative will go next. And following a couple creative directors on TikTok, there's a lot about sort of oversaturation and a lot of like gaudiness and like deep, rich colors and all in your face back in the branded asset lane. So a little bit of a deviation from what we've seen in the last probably 3-4 years is so heavy creator. So I'm excited to see how brands start to integrate that into what they're doing in 2025.
Wow. Will this be the death of UGC, everybody? You heard it here first. just everybody, Nikki's shaking her head in the video. Yeah, Chloe went a bit overboard there. But yeah, it's clearly not going to be the death of UGC, but it's probably peaked is what we're saying. Nikki, thank you so much for all those insights. It's been great picking your brains about building profitability into your Meta ads. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end of the episode because you do not want to miss out on Nikki's insider tips on Meta ads and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your businesses. Did you know that Safari deletes all of your website's visitor data every 7 days? Since Apple deprecated third-party cookies, most brands' retargeted audience size has been slashed by 40%. Amerce fixes this in just one click. The Amerce first-party data app extends your data tracking to 1 year instead of 7 days, automatically adding 40% more customer data to your existing email flows and paid ads audiences. Brands with Amerce installed see 20% more email revenue and a 40% increase in event match quality across Meta and Google. It literally takes just 15 minutes to install, and you never have to do anything after. Just let the revenue roll in. Sign up for your 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE. Okay, Nikki, so far we've gone deep into building profitability into your Meta ads. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of Meta ads. Not that we haven't gone there already, really. But for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with Meta ads at all, which of course includes all the stuff we've already been talking about. Nikki, are you ready for these?
Yes.
Okay, then let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
Yeah, I think my recommendation for setting yourself up for success, especially for a newbie, is first, make sure you're tracking the right things on your website. So if you're after a conversion, spot check, you know, purchase to see that everything's working as expected and firing to give Meta ads credit. So I can't tell you how many times, you know, we've encountered the issue of like, the client's actually never been tracking precisely what they need to be tracking to be effective. Once that is nailed and taken care of, I think the best low-hanging fruit to give someone starting out is leverage the catalog integration and leverage dynamic product ads, just because you don't have to be in that creative flywheel where you're creating, you know, 4+ assets every single month and thinking outside of the box. And I would set up those catalog ads within Advantage Plus Shopping, just because if you're running a new campaign for a brand for the first time, you don't have a ton of data in Meta yet. So let Meta help establish for you who you should be targeting to set the more complicated future builds up for success.
Awesome advice there. Thank you very much. Once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Yeah, I think my favorite way to improve performance is just staying at it. You can't set it and forget it. I know Advantage Plus Shopping and machine learning makes it feel like media buying is completely dead. But to the points we spoke about earlier, like you really do need to check in daily. You really do probably want to set up some bid rules and automations to make your life easier. But ultimately, I would be looking at your attribution for new versus all clients or customers in Meta and comparing it to your Shopify or GA4, just so you can help tell management and leadership like how important this part of marketing is for the business's overall growth.
Love that answer as well, Nikki. Thank you. Now, if someone listening wants to learn more, is there one cheap or free resource you would recommend?
My favorite resource is TikTok. I think the search engine there is just getting so good. And the amount of marketers on TikTok just talking about how to do things is really, really incredible. So that would be my first free resource. My next would probably be around subscribing and following Taylor Holiday with Common Thread Collective. He really thinks about paid media and specifically Meta ads around profitability, like full stop. Like there's nothing else that matters. So I would subscribe to his podcast and YouTube for more of how he thinks about the business. And he's both an agency owner and a business, an e-commerce business owner. So he kind of gets to wear both hats.
Oh, nice. Love those recommendations. Thank you. Finally, it's crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
I would go into the creative lane and just mention a lot of saturation, like a lot of like great branded assets that are completely different than the very pristine minimalist branded assets we've seen in recent years. So I think I would encourage brands to like go crazy, go nuts, drive their creative director a little mad and test some new things that are just so explosive that people can't help but watch them. So that would probably be my first thing, a couple things. My next thing would be, you know, keep a foot in the lane of creator generated content, but maybe you can pull off the gas a little bit with creators and maybe narrow it down to ambassadors who you want to like build relationships with. What we're finding is creators no longer want $200 for every single thing they're doing or well beyond that. They want to build careers with brands. So be that brand that wants to bring them to the table and give them a bigger cut of what they're doing for the business. And the final thing would be, I think by 12 months from now, we might be seeing the return of detailed targeting, like a little bit more detailed targeting. I think we might go there.
Wow. That is hard to believe, but would be so cool.
I know. Yeah. I think, as I told you earlier, like 10% of our clients do see more success with detailed targeting than with Advantage Plus shopping. So like there's still that glimmer of something's working there. And I think we should not avoid it 100%. So like as you're doing the tests, as 2025 goes on, I would be continuing to test into detailed targeting audiences. And yeah, we'll see if my prediction holds.
Very cool. Thank you so much for those, Nikki. We are very nearly at the end of the show, which means it's time for you to let the listeners know where they can get in contact with you and your business if they want to find out more and get your help.
Yeah, absolutely. So the easiest place to track us down is our domain. So pennock.co. You'll see the links to our TikTok, YouTube, et cetera, in the footer there. And we do love to work with people who we meet on these podcasts. So if you are interested in getting a free audit and learning if you qualify for us to pay for some of your media dollars, which is something we're offering to qualified brands, feel free to leave a form fill on my website and mention the podcast, and then I can kind of evaluate you differently to see if you qualify for some media spend on Pennock's behalf.
Ooh, very cool. And what was the URL of the website again, please?
Yep, it's pennock.co.
There you go, guys. Head over, check out what they do, and get yourselves in line for being analyzed to see if you could qualify for some free ad spend. Nikki, thank you so much for being on the Keep Optimizing podcast and for being so generous, sharing so much insight with us. It's been absolutely awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Chloe.
So there you have it, everybody. The blueprint for building profitability into your meta ads. Get the numbers right. Understand your attribution. Embrace the Advantage Plus massively, but do test other things like the lead gen and the normal, in inverted commas, meta ad accounts, and keep creating that great creative. You can get links to everything we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/ the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll be redirected straight to the right episode page. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other many things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then do check out the rest of our series. We kicked off last episode when we went deep into how to create your own creative brand side, which is well worth listening to. Lots of cool insights shared in that session. And there's far more back up the feed from the last time we covered it. You can find our full thread of meta ads content by scrolling up your feed or using the short link keepopt.com/meta. And please do tell your fellow meta ads marketers about the show, because I want to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Join top brands to gain 60% more tracked customer profiles and a 40% revenue boost in Klaviyo, Meta, and Google Ads. Sign up for a 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE.